there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, and I'm sitting here with Mermaid Tiffany on the Caribbean Explorer 2 liveaboard in, well, we're just anchored off the coast of Ceiba. It's her first time in this part of the world. This is about my fifth or sixth time doing this itinerary, but I got to tell you, it is phenomenal. We're about, I'd say, just over halfway through our week-long adventure, our scuba radio scuba cruise that we've been looking forward to for some time here with our friends from Explorer Ventures. And I got to say, it never fails to deliver the goods when it comes to the diving and the adventure that you experience when you come to this part of the world. The diving we've had so far, which mostly at this point has been in St. Kitts, has just been phenomenal. I mean, I got to say, you know, we had such a great time in Nevis last week. I didn't really think the diving in St. Kitts would, you know, would be much to write home about, but I was wrong. We spent the first couple days off the coast of St. Kitts doing some of the dive sites that were near some of the sites that we dove when we were in Nevis going for those lobsters and stuff. But, you know, the diving off of St. Kitts was nothing short of spectacular. We had excellent conditions. The visibility was great. We saw all kinds of marine life, frogfish, you know, which are fairly rare to see anywhere in any part of the world, kind of, you know, similar to seeing seahorses and that kind of thing, and just all kinds of cool marine life. And like I said, the conditions were spectacular for getting great photos. We have Barry and Ruth from Dive Training Magazine on board. They're looking to shoot a cover for Dive Training, and they've been sharing some of their photo skills with everybody here on the boat. And obviously, the conditions have lent itself to get some spectacular shots. So, you know, we've been in St. Kitts. We've done some diving there. We've only been a day in Ceiba. And actually, most of that has been on land. We actually came over to the island from Ceiba after spending about 2.5-3 days in St. Kitts, or off the coast of St. Kitts, made the crossing to Ceiba, and did one dive, and then got off the boat and had a special VIP tour of the island, which I've done before, but they actually threw an extra element to our land tour on this trip, and we went to a place I'd never been to before, called the Tide Pools, which is over by their airport, which, by the way, if you're a pilot or a pilot in training like myself, the runway in Ceiba, on the island of Ceiba, is only 1,300 feet. It's one of the shortest, if not the shortest, runway in the world or something like that. And to get an up-close and personal look at it, and think that you could fly a plane into this is pretty remarkable. I didn't see any planes making the attempt today. And I got to say, it's going to be way, way down the list as far as things to do once I get my private pilot certificate, which, you know, I'm trying to do as part of our Just Plane radio show. But it's an impressive place to drive by and see. And the scenery will knock your socks off at Ceiba. That's what always stands out to me when we go onto the island. You look around and you have these vistas that'll just, I mean, it's just, it's hard to describe because it's unlike any other Caribbean island I have ever seen. And it never gets boring. I mean, you get up there at this little tropical cafe bar that overlooks a valley off the coast of Ceiba. And it just, it is just an amazing thing to witness. and to enjoy a cocktail after your day of diving and just unwind and feel relaxed and that kind of thing. Now, Mermaid Tiffany was with me, and we went to this place called the Tide Pools, which was down there by the airport. And as soon as you get off the off the road, the main road here in Ceiba, and you park your car, you take this little path. I mean, we had Crocodile Dundee. Literally, there's a guy here who works with the conservation efforts on Ceiba, and he carries around like a 16-inch blade, just like Crocodile Dundee. And I said, do you like being called the Crocodile Dundee of Ceiba? He says, absolutely, mate, or something like that. I don't know what he said, but he said yes. And he knows all the ins and outs of the cool things they have to see. So he took us over to these tide pools, which is a place that I had never been before. And as soon as you get out of the parking lot area and start taking this walk, I mean, just the walk out to the water, which is where we were on the cliffs and things, is spectacular view. But all of a sudden it changes to this jaggedy, molten kind of, well, I mean, it's basically volcanic land that's relatively new. I mean, when it comes to earth crust and land and stuff. Because, Ceiba is a volcanic island. It was created from a giant volcano and that kind of thing. But this is actually still looks like it's fairly fresh or dried lava or something. What do you think there, Tiffany?
Yeah.
I don't know. It looks like you're on another planet when you walk out on this stuff, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, I would agree with that 110%, but it is a very, very remarkable sight.
Yeah, and it's created these tide pools where the waves crash in, and then I don't know how the land formed. It created like these still water ponds that are flushed in and out every now and then, but obviously hold water and marine life. There were critters in there. We even saw some brain coral in some of these tide pools was just kind of, I don't know, just weird. It looks like you were literally walking around another planet. And actually, I described it as that Star Trek episode where Captain Kirk is fighting that alien on some planet, and it's like, wow, I'm in like an episode of Star Trek. What was it?
It's the Gorn.
The Gorn, yes. Mark knows this. He's kind of a nerd that way, like me. I just don't know the name of it. Now, Mark, that's Mark from M&M from back in the day. He's on board with us this week as well. So, as a matter of fact, you're doing your Nitrox course right now? Is that what it is?
I am. I'm taking the test, and you're bothering me.
Okay, well, that's just what I do, Mark.
But I appreciate that.
Yeah, no worries. If you need any help, I'll make sure to give you the wrong answer. Yeah, he's actually getting his Nitrox certification here on the Caribbean Explorer 2 liverboard here in Ceiba as we just kick back. By the way, it's evening, by the way, and it's just after dinner, and we're sitting in the galley, and Mark's working on his test. So we're distracting him accordingly as we do the show and maybe have a cocktail or two. But these tide pools we were at, Tiffany, this was like taking the Little Mermaid, where you see her, up on the rocks and the waves splashing behind her. This was like taking that cartoon and putting it into real life. That's what it looked like there when we were there. And we're going to go back and do a photo shoot and see if we can create that image for our website. What do you think?
Yeah, as far as the scenery goes, that looks very promising. But from being on the boat all week, as I mentioned earlier, yeah, you take back more than just memories. You take back about 5 or 10 pounds. So Craig will do his famous photoshopping and try to make me look like Miss Ariel.
Yes, well, there really doesn't have to be much photoshopping done when it comes to Mermaid Tiffany. She's too self-conscious. Like all our mermaids are like that, but we don't have to do much touch-up, trust me. We'll make that, we'll try to get that image up there at scubaradio.com. And we have some pros. We brought in the big guns. We got Barry and Ruth from Dive Training Magazine on the boat with us as well. So not only am I trying to take some pictures with our GoPro cameras and light motion lights that we brought on board, some of the Gobi lights and the solar light, video lights that really light up the image as well. Barry and Ruth have not only great equipment to work with like that, but actually the skills to go along with it to capture some really amazing images. And they've been nice enough. They're sharing their skills and their knowledge base from over the years of doing this, year in and year out with everybody on the boat. So hopefully improving everybody's photo skills, including mine. So hopefully I'm going to pick up a tip or two to make Mermaid Tiffany and some of our dive footage look even better than it normally does. So, you know, we've just been having a good time. Now, what do you think of the diving that we've experienced so far, mostly in St. Kitts? Have you been impressed compared to some of the other places we've been, Fiji, the Bahamas, that kind of place, Turks and Caicos?
Yeah, it's been great. One thing I've noticed is it's all pretty fairly easy diving. Nothing too extreme, and the visibility has been wonderful. Like, thousands of feet. Maybe not that much, but it has been very, very, very clear. Too clear, because I have to see your face all the time, and I don't like that.
You know what I said about photoshopping the Mermaid Tiffany's photos? Oh, my God. Are we pushing those processors to the limit? Yeah, she's out of beer range, so I can get away with that. All right, we're going to distract Mark from his nitrox test some more. Come back with more next. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExploreVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
The dive pros at the DEMA show know, and now you do too. Dominica's Fort Young Hotel is offering a DEMA dive show getaway. 5 days of diving, marine park fees, daily full breakfast, transfers, $50 resort credit, and 7 nights at the luxurious Fort Young Hotel for as low as $1063. From whales to waterfalls, Dominica has it all. A diver's paradise even non-divers will appreciate when staying at the Fort Young Hotel. Go to FortYoungHotel.com and book your DEMA dive getaway to Dominica now. That's FortYoungHotel.com.
Light and Motion, leading the industry in high-powered LED lighting and underwater video systems year after year.
Light and Motion,
consistently ranking at the top of the innovative technology spectrum.
Light and Motion,
100% built in the USA in a historic warehouse on Cannery Row since 1989.
Light and Motion.
Tomorrow's technology today.
Light and Motion.
Look for the name the pros trust in a dive center near you.
Light and Motion.
On the web at lightandmotion.com.
My name is Alexa from South Wales.
Wow, okay.
If you like going down like me, then here's the man to see. Greg the Dive Master on Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Every time I get high, you wanna come by. Every time I wanna get down, get down, get down.
We are getting down in Saba on the Caribbean Explorer 2 liveaboard. We are having just a big old time. Now, I have distracted Mark as much as I possibly can from his nitrox course, but I think he may have been, you know, he has been so focused, laser focused, probably due to the tutelage he received from his nitrox instructor, who is Leslie, who's with us right now. Leslie, how are you?
I'm excellent. How are you?
Now, for those of you who don't know, you know, Leslie is one of the crew here on the Caribbean Explorer 2. I live aboard. She works in the dive folks, helping folks when they get in the water and that kind of thing. But she's also now an official Scuba Radio part-time mermaid, right?
Ah, yes, exactly.
She had a mermaid experience and did quite well for your first time. You did really, really good. And we'll have some pictures up there at scubaradio.com soon. But let's get back to why you're working with Mark. He has special needs, which is, you know, that's why we pulled out the big guns like Leslie. However, he wanted to do his nitrox certification. And first of all, Mark, why? Why did you want to do that?
I've been waiting to do this for years, Greg, and these guys finally, I got the opportunity to do it here with you guys and all this fun stuff going on. I mean, why not, right?
It increases your bottom time on a liveaboard. Being Nitroc certified makes all the difference in the world, right, Leslie?
Yes, especially with the repetitive dives that we're doing, 5 dives a day, Nitroc is really going to extend your bottom time and make it a lot easier on you.
Yes, and you know, even if you leave your computer set at air,
right,
and dive Nitroc and don't violate the maximum depth limit, it'll just make you that much safer, right?
Exactly. Yeah. You have a lot of benefits with Nitroc, and that's definitely one of them, especially when you're on a liveaboard like ours.
So that was the reasoning, or you just wanted to be like us, right?
I try to be as cool as you, Greg, every chance I get.
Yes, well, okay, I don't know. He hasn't been listening lately or something, but he still has this kind of complex about him in that regard. But, he did his Nitroc test, his final exam. He's done the studying. Did it pay off, Leslie?
Yes, it did. He passed with flying colors.
Despite the fact that I tried to distract him as much as I possibly can, throw him off his game, you still were able to, go. Well, what did you get? How many did you get right or wrong?
I missed one, Greg, and it happened to be the one that you were talking to me during
really?
That question.
It was. You're going to use that? You're going to play that card now?
I am
your
playing
instructor?
That card right now.
Okay, what was the one he got wrong, Leslie? Do you know?
He missed a question about the markings on Nitroc tanks and whether or not the markings are universal or if they change in different regions.
If they change in different ranges, and the so is true or false kind of thing?
It was a multiple choice question, and the answer that Mark selected was that the markings are universal, which they're not. There are different regions that do different things to their tanks so that you know that it's a Nitroc tank.
Right. And that could be a green sticker. It could be ENXX or something. Yeah. All that's. It's been a while since I did mine. But, I know it was something like that. But honest mistake. And, I might have distracted them just a tad, so we'll give them that much. It's an easy course to do on a liveaboard trip, too, especially if you want to do it in the first couple of days, right?
Exactly. We were able to get everything ready and let Mark start diving Nitroc his very first dive this week, so he got the maximum benefit from the course right away.
Nice. So do you feel safer? Are you increasing your bottom time? Do you feel like you've maximized that adventure underwater already?
Absolutely. And, I have been so mellow this week. I don't know what's with the Nitroc. They didn't cover that, but I've been very mellow. Have you noticed?
You have been. Yeah, and not that you're normally bouncing off the walls, but, that's one of the things you hear about Nitroc being that there's less nitrogen in your system because what nitrogen is actually enriched air or enriched oxygen diving. So they put in more oxygen, therefore there's less nitrogen in the tank, which less nitrogen in the tank, less nitrogen in you. And the idea or one of the theories is that all that nitrogen that gets into your tissues and your organs and stuff makes your body work harder and wears you out. If you don't have to work out as hard, then you may feel a little bit more refreshed. So are you feeling more refreshed as well as relaxed?
Absolutely. Can't you tell I'm like skipping around the deck and everything?
It's a miracle. He's laid back. He's definitely into the liveaboard mode where they just feed you. You just go dive and you kick back in a lounge chair and chill. And Leslie and the crew here at the, Explore Ventures really makes it easy. What is the thing that you like seeing from passengers week in and week out? Just the joy of diving or what is it for you that keeps you doing this gig there, Leslie?
Well, my favorite thing is whenever we come up from the dive or when I'm working the deck and I get to ask, what did you see? And everybody's got their story about, oh, I saw this huge turtle, or I saw 6 squid, or I saw, my first nudibranch. And it's really exciting to see how everybody is as soon as they get out of the water. And then when we start briefing for the next one, you can see everybody's getting really excited to get back in the water. I like working with divers that like to dive.
Yes, well, and those are easy to find,
yes,
especially when you get on a liveaboard like this, because they do. They make it so easy. This is the easiest type of diving you could ever do. Are you with me on this, Mark, or what?
Absolutely, Greg. These guys make it so simple. I mean, the hardest thing is getting up in the morning,
That's true.
That's the toughest part.
And that's not really that hard because, there's this wave of smells of bacon and eggs and fresh cooked breakfast that kind of filter its way through the boat that kind of is your alarm clock.
You know what I'm saying? You getting that as well?
I know exactly what you're saying. Exactly right. Right on.
So it's good motivation to get you up in the morning and get you out in the water. So, you got that, element of liveaboard diving that, I'm with you on this as well, is that I think this is the best type of diving there is. I mean, it's just too easy, especially if you want to get a lot of dives in quickly and then really experience the underwater world. This is the way to do it. Are you with me? Is that as well, Leslie?
I definitely agree. I've worked in day boats. I've worked in big corporate shops. And if even on my vacations now, what I want to do is go on a liveaboard. This is the best way to dive if you're serious about diving. If you're going to go on a dive vacation, there's no reason not to already be parked at the dive site.
Now, what about the location we're at? We're anchored right off the coast of Ceiba right now. We got some night divers in the water. We're going to get that experience from them as soon as they get out of the water. We'll try to throw a microphone in their face and see how, see all the critters that they, or hear about all the critters they saw on the night dive. But, some of the diving we did in St. Kitts the last few days, I've been blown away. I was really surprised, and I've done this itinerary several times. And I didn't remember St. Kitts being as good as diving as it was. Is that what it's been pretty consistently this year or what?
Yes, definitely. Both St. Kitts and Ceiba have great marine parks that are really taking care of their reefs. And a lot of the reef systems are just growing and getting better. We're seeing more fish, different types of fish, lots of life on the reefs now. And that's not something that everybody expects to see if they've done Caribbean diving in other places. It's really a beautiful experience at both islands.
Yeah, and as far as the critters, when you're working a boat like this, you get familiar with who is who. And this frogfish is hanging here, this eel is always hanging over here, and of course she's very gracious to share those locations with the people that come on the boat. All right, we got more. We're going to go talk to these night divers next, right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We're in Ceiba with Explore Ventures. Stay close.
Woo-hoo.
We are here on the dive deck of the Caribbean Explorer 2 Liveaboard. The crew is serving up Bailey's and Kahlua with hot chocolate to warm up the divers as they're coming up from their night dive. The Scuba Cowboy is with me, and he just finished one of those dives himself. What do you see there, buddy?
I'm saying this is awesome! Awesome! Saw a humongous, it was like, I think it might have been a Volkswagen at first, but
the turtle.
Yes, he was huge.
Wow. Yeah,
I found him sleeping under a rock.
They have this resident turtle on this site that is as big as a Volkswagen.
That's what they say.
Yes. Wow. And was it, or close enough?
It was close enough. I was confused at first, but what was really cool is at the beginning of the dive, this is the thing, is they have everything from every end of the spectrum here. Because at the beginning of the dive, I found a starfish the size of a dime. I found it in the sand.
Size of a dime.
Yes, I have testament to it.
So Pump went on the night dive. He's going small. But then you went big with the turtle, I guess.
Exactly.
All right. And what did you see, Todd?
I was Pup's dive buddy there, and here we are. We're chasing rays everywhere. They're just flying out like flies and everything else, and so we... Here we are, we stop right there in the sand and take a little breather and just watch all the rays go everywhere. And sure enough, he just looks down at his fingertips, and all of a sudden he just kicks up this thing and looks, and there's that quarter-inch little star, little baby star.
Little baby starfish.
It's the cutest thing I ever saw under the sea!
You are easily amused. I don't know. I've hung with the Scuba Cowboy for years now. And you are definitely bubbling over right now. Or you're stoned. I don't know.
No, I forgot
and
how much
Kahlua
fun
and Bailey's is doing its trick right now. I mean, but you are a good sampling of what people come up out of the water here at Ceiba. You see some cool stuff.
I won't miss another one. I'm telling you what, it was a blast. I forgot how much it's like floating in outer space when you're down there, man. I love it.
Yeah, it is paradise for sure. All right, so that was one of the sights. they did on the night dive. What was the name of that one, by the way? What is? Oh, Customs House, of course. That's what it was. All right, well, there you go. You got that to look forward to when you come here to Saba, and much, much more. We'll get into it next after the Dan Tip right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Scuba Radio, diver's consumer tip number 63. Every attempt to train a catfish to use an underwater litter box is proven unsuccessful.
Hey, hang on, you guys. I'll be right back.
So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the real Dan Good Diving Safety Tip. And here with us today, Nick Bird, CEO and Chief Medical Officer for Divers Alert Network. What's new with you, Nick?
Hey, I'm off to do some diving, Greg.
No kidding. Where are you headed?
To the coast. I hear there's some good diving in Florida.
You have to try hard to avoid it. You're going off the coast?
Yep. I booked my charter and I'm all set.
You like diving off a boat?
Find me a diver who doesn't. I mean, there are a ton of diving opportunities to be had off a boat. Between charter operations, private boats, kayaks, liveaboards.
I'm partial to liveaboards myself. There's nothing quite like having access to virtually any site, anywhere.
That's the appeal of boat diving.
Sounds like a good topic for a safety tip.
You're on to me, huh?
Yeah.
There are definitely a few key things to think about, especially if you're heading out on a charter boat.
Such as?
Well, for starters, consider the gear that you'll need ahead of time. For the most part, you'll be expected to provide your own. And sometimes a charter operation will provide tanks and weights, and sometimes not.
So be sure to check with them before you book your spot.
Yeah, ask what will be provided and what won't, and plan accordingly. If you need to rent gear, be sure to let the operation know what you'll need, and be sure to arrive a little early to ensure that you'll have time to try it on and familiarize yourself with it before the boat leaves.
How about emergency equipment?
Every boat should already be equipped with first aid kits, emergency oxygen units, life jackets, and all that good stuff. Anything like surface signaling devices or personal equipment will be up to you.
Let's hit on some etiquette points. It's amazing how quickly a lack of thought can ruin a day on a boat.
You're right. Although most of the etiquette to observe on a dive boat is common sense, it's highly unlikely you'll be the only diver on the boat. So rule number one is to be considerate of others.
Like, keep your gear in your own spot?
You said it. Messy divers get on everyone's nerves. It's always better if everyone just assembles their gear when they're invited on board and then stows the remainder neatly away, either under a bench or in a designated area or locker.
There's a safety element too, isn't there?
Sure. The less stuff that's strewn about, the less chance there is that anyone else will be tripping over it.
How about following procedure?
That's just good manners. Boat crews tend to be very good at what they do, and the procedures they set down are the result of experience and knowing what works best on their vessel. So listen to them. It's not just a matter of being polite, it's a way to increase your safety factor as well.
You know, when it comes right down to it, we're all just guests on the boat.
That's a great way to look at it.
You mentioned listening to the boat crew. Dive briefings are a big part of that, right?
Yep. There are generally two briefings before the first dive. One on boat procedures.
Like entering, exiting the water, diver tracking systems, using the head, what to do if you're seasick.
Can you listen to that part especially close, don't you, Greg?
You know, I've fed the fishes a time or two, yeah.
We all have, but you're right. That's exactly what the first briefing will cover. The second usually takes place when you arrive at the site. The pre-dive briefing will generally include information on what to expect on the site, dive profiles to follow, hazards to avoid, and any other information that's important for you to know. Listen to it. The briefing will likely cover important information on navigation, visibility, marine life, and recommendations on how to get the most out of your dive.
Not to mention completing the dive safely.
Well, that too.
You know, that leads to a pet peeve of mine. Part of that dive briefing will include maximum dive profiles. Don't mess up everyone's day by ignoring them and screwing up the schedule.
That's a great point. When you're choosing your charter, make sure the other divers on board will be doing the same kind of diving you are. If you want to do technical diving with decompression involved, make sure that's clear when you book the charter so you find yourself on an appropriate boat with similar divers. Even on the strictly recreational side, don't think the maximum depths and times don't apply to you. They do. It's not fair to hold up everyone else on a boat just because you think it's okay to ignore the profile set by the crew, because it's not. Don't hold up the boat or get yourself in trouble by thinking the briefing and the rules are for everyone else but you.
Thank you. Okay, so now that we're fully briefed, what about getting in and out of the water?
Again, follow the briefing as outlined by the crew. They'll tell you when to suit up, when to put on your fins, where to rinse your mask, how to approach the exit point, and all that good stuff.
I find most of them have a check-out, check-in system, too. You know, so they know who's in the water and who's back from the dive.
I sure hope so. But regardless of what system is in place, it's a good idea to let someone know when you leave and return so they know where you are.
I've got one, though it's kind of a etiquette safety combo. For crying out loud, when you get in the water, move away from the entry point so I can get in.
Good point. Although please be sure to do your part and make sure that the entry point's clear before you go.
Look before you leap.
Right. And along that line, when you return from your dive, be sure not to linger at the re-entry point of the boat. It's likely that another diver is coming up behind you, so clear the space so that they can rejoin the boat too.
So we can do our surface interval.
Yep, it's all part of the day. It's unlikely you'll do only one dive a day on a boat, so you'll have some time between dives. Use the downtime to drink plenty of water and stay hydrated. Reapply that sunscreen and just relax and enjoy the day.
And for those of us who have felt queasy from time to time...
I know you've had some experience with this. Care to share what you've learned?
I've learned there's no shame in getting seasick. Yes, it hits some more than others, but it can hit anyone at any time. So just try to make it over the side. And if you need help, ask the crew. They've seen it all before.
Well done.
Dive boats are an extraordinary and varied way to reach a dive site. The differences between them may be subtle, but distinct. One thing they all have in common, a dive crew with experience. So be sure to use that experience and listen to what they have to say. They are as big a contribution to your safety as any other factor. So listen carefully and follow the rules. Do that, and you're guaranteed damn good diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
We are back here on the Caribbean Explorer 2 Liveaboard with Explorer Ventures, just off the island of Saba. Now, we've had a lot of special guests on board. You've heard some of the, some of my friends, Mark, and of course the scuba cowboy, Tiffany, doing our mermaid thing. We actually did another mermaid shoot since the last segment that we'll get into in just a bit. But the guy behind that little presentation was my buddy Barry, well, and his wife, Roof, from Dive Training Magazine. How are you guys?
Hey, Greg, how's it going? Oh, man, it has been a fantastic week. This has been so much fun.
It has been so much fun. You're having everybody sign releases. So all the pictures we took when they weren't looking and that kind of thing, we can publish them on, I don't know, Facebook and blackmail them? Is that how it works or what?
That is exactly how it works.
Right. That's right. Exactly. You know, they've been drinking, so we can get away with this. But, yeah, we've been having a big old time. The diving here in Saba, this is your first time to this part of the world as well, right, Barry?
Most definitely. And now, I've been to St. Kitts, but we've never been to Saba. And the diving here is just spectacular. The visibility, the creatures, the fauna, everything is just first class.
Yes, and you know, the one of the great things of being in this industry is you get to know people after a few years, because it's a very, you know, just a family, or you know, the dive industry family that you kind of develop over time. And Barry and Ruth are part of them, part of the Scuba Radio crew, I'd like to say. We hung out together in Dominica a couple times, and we've done a few trips. And having you on the Liveaboard is a treat, because you know they're the ones who shoot these magazine covers for Dive Training Magazine. They've done it more than any other photographer. It's like, what, 40, 50, something like that? I don't know. What is it? Crazy number.
We just hit 67.
Wow. Okay. And you know, what they do, they shoot this amazing cover photo for the magazine, and then they... you flip it open and then you see the reverse. And I thought, hey, let's get on the liveaboard and actually see if we can shoot one of these covers. I want to see what actually goes in to this this technique of getting that angle. Because, you know, it's not as easy as some people think. Now, I know you were telling that story right before we went on the air to some of the other passengers here on the boat about how people were asking you if they knew how to get that reverse angle shot. What happened exactly?
That is true. Now, this was back in the film days when we were shooting slides, and a fellow told me that he knew how I did the reverse covers, and I said, well, okay. He says, it was real easy. You just flip the slide backwards, and you get the reverse side.
Well, of course. It sounds so simple. But that doesn't exactly do the trick, does it? It just makes you left-handed as opposed to right-handed or vice versa?
Exactly, yes.
So that doesn't give you that true reverse angle. When you think about it, you know, when you just flip over the cover and say, oh, that's kind of cool. But you don't realize what goes into getting a shot like that because you actually have to set up an entire shoot the reverse angle once you decide what you want to get on the front side. So what we did, we set up Mermaid Tiffany in an amazing site here on Saba. But we'll tell you how that went here right after the break, because it was pretty amazing, and you'll get a little behind-the-scenes, you know, feel of what goes into shooting one of these dive training covers.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at scubaradio.com.
Scuba Radio.
All right, everyone. Step lively. Look sharp. It's almost showtime. I'll give you a final room tone check, please, and check your marks.
We'd like to ask now that all passengers please hold your breath as we take you through an underwater hip-hop extravaganza.
Underwater rhymes.
We're now descending.
Underwater rhymes.
We're 200 fathoms and dropping.
Yeah, I don't even know how deep that is, but it's way too deep. For us, we're topping out at 110 because we're diving nitrox this week on the Caribbean Explorer 2 liveaboard with Explorer Ventures. And Barry and Ruth from Dive Training Magazine with me right now. We shot a, well, I don't know, we didn't really shoot a dive training cover, but we kind of went through the process of what it would take, and we're going to post this up at scubaradio.com at the bare minimum. Right, Barry? That's the plan?
Definitely, yeah. That would be exciting for us to see it online, for sure.
Well, you know what is amazing to me is that we got Mermaid Tiffany, and we got that front shot, and I really didn't think she would let me shoot get that shot from behind. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, some women have a little trouble with that, but gosh, she looks great. I mean,
she looks great. She pulled it off, and the fact that Barry, you know, was a real photographer and it wasn't me, she said, yeah, okay, whatever, and she let it go. So we got the shot, and we will post it eventually at scubaradio.com. But, you know, all the work that goes into getting those angles, you really got to think about, you know, what you want to shoot before you actually do it. You know, and what happens is when you're looking for a cover for dive training, sometimes you know what's gonna what they want you to get, and sometimes you don't. You just kind of go out on a trip like this and capture a few images, and if you can get the reverse, you can. Is that what happens, or what?
Well, pretty much. Most of the time, we do know ahead of time what we're going to be shooting cover-wise, but having a wonderful model like my wife, Ruthie, that can hold a particular position and look great in any position, she a lot of times sees the cover before I do.
Yeah, well, that's true. And Ruthie was nice enough to help out Tiffany, give her a few tips. And Ruthie, you've got to at least say hi. She's microphone shy, but you can say a few words, can't you?
I am a little microphone shy, but I do want to say, first of all, we've had a fabulous time on the Explorer 2, the Caribbean Explorer 2. It's been great. We have enjoyed all the people that are on the board, the staff. They've been fabulous. And, of course, we've topped it off with doing the mermaid shoot, which was a great deal of fun. Tiffany was fabulous, just posed beautifully. So it makes my job easy.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I bring on the big guns like Barry and Ruth from Dive Training, and I have them instruct the mermaids on what they should do, they actually do it. You know, unlike when I tell them to do something, which they kind of like, Greg, no, I'm not doing that. And then, you know, we don't get anything. So I know for a fact we actually got some quality footage, both video and for photos and stuff for this trip. So that will show up at scubaradio.com. And I don't know, could it lend itself to dive training maybe in the future? We'll have to wait and see, I guess, right?
Most definitely. Unfortunately, it's not a decision that we get to make.
Who do I got to pay off exactly?
If I said, I might get in trouble.
Oh, that's true. All right, Jerry and Mark, you know who you are. That's all I got to do. I know the big guns there at Dive Training, but we'll see what happens. We got to get them to write an article about mermaiding, and that's really not in the mainstream of what dive training usually does. But if we can find an angle, we'll work it. Fair enough, Barry?
Sounds good to me.
Now, what about the diving here off the coast of Saba and St. Kitts, for that matter, for what we've seen? How is it rate with some of the other places that you've traveled around the world?
Oh, definitely world class. I had no idea that the diving was this good because I'd only been to St. Kitts once and we'd only done one or two dives. But this week has been fantastic. And, of course, like Ruthie was saying, being here on the Caribbean and Explorer 2 with Explorer Ventures and with the great people that we had on board, it could not have been better.
Yeah, it really is. We've had a great bunch of passengers. The crew, top-notch, as always, when you go on one of these liveaboards. But the weather has been very cooperative this week as well. We've had great conditions. Some of the dive sites we've been to here in Saba that I've been on several times over the years, best conditions ever. So we picked, obviously, a great week to come out here and experience some of this stuff. Now, Barry has been nice enough not only to let us, you know, kind of see a glimpse behind the curtain of what it takes to shoot one of these dive training covers. He's also shared some nice tips with the passengers on board on how to get better pictures. And I think we could share some of this with some of the folks back home that are not lucky enough to, be here with us this week. And let's talk about that. One of the things you brought up was, getting closer to your subject and lighting. Fill us in or tell them what they need to do to get better shots here, Barry.
Well, I think there's two suggestions that I would say to anyone that was trying to get better in their underwater photography. One is to get closer, and if you think you're close enough, get even closer than that. And the next thing is to shoot on even level with the critter or subject, or shoot up. Never shoot down. It brings more contrast to the image when you're shooting up.
And also, you brought up a thing about lights. Lighting makes all the difference in the world when you're shooting underwater, especially. And this was something I hadn't heard before, but you mentioned something about it's always better to use two lights, which I knew that, but to actually angle the lights off of your subject, and then that part where both of the, the circles of light from each strobe or each video light connect and overlap, that is the part that you want to have on your subject, so your lights aren't necessarily pointing directly at them. Am I getting that right, kind of, or no?
That is correct. Most people will point their lights directly at their subject, and what happens is light does not come out of the strobe in a straight line. It comes out at an angle, usually at around 90 to 100 degrees, and when you point directly at your subject, you're lighting the water in between the lens and the subject, which causes backscatter.
Get closer to your subject and use that excuse when you're working with a mermaid. I got to get closer.
Greg, back off!
You know, I have an excuse now, right?
There you go.
All right, there you go. Hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving is coming up. We're going to talk to the crew, the passengers, and share some of these adventures with you. And I actually talked to some folks from Scuba Pro that are on board with us as well. That's coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know, what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They're not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.